It is an overwhelming experience to think of the death of our Lord Jesus at the cross. And I shared on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago when I was little and would see a film of Christ on TV around Easter time and was very interested in that. We didn't go to church on a regular basis or anything, but we watched those things on television. And when the part when Jesus was being killed and crucified, I would get very upset and cry and run out of the room. And I think all of us have that response to thinking about Jesus dying. And to think tonight with you about our Lord's heart for us. He bore our griefs and sorrows at the cross. He went there willingly. The cross, which was a symbol back in Jesus' day of a terrible execution, became a symbol of God's victory over sin and hell and death for us. And so the cross speaks of Christ's love, his commitment, his faithfulness, and the different responses of people around the cross are responses often you and I have when we think of Jesus' death for us. And they draw us to a walk with him and a real dependence on him. So I want to share a few of those with you tonight. As far as we know, the 10 apostles who knew Jesus and loved him, 10 of the 11 all ran away when Jesus was killed. They hid. They were concerned about their own lives. They were fearful in that way. And, you know, the Bible tells us that God is faithful even when we are faithless. So sometimes in our getting to know Christ, we feel like we run away or we let him down in some manner. That is sin. But he comes toward us and wants to change our lives. He is like that. Luke tells us that when Jesus was carrying the cross, a great crowd of his disciples mourned and wailed. And I think the whole creation was brokenhearted when Jesus was dying and wept, couldn't believe that God the Son, who made everything, would give his life and would die for each one. And we weep when our loved ones die. If you have a loved one who is gone, you cry. And I think also, either outwardly or inwardly, we do weep when we think of Jesus dying on our behalf, because he's our best loved one. And some people mock Jesus when he was dying. You know, that's a terrible response. They sneered at him, the Bible says. People began to yell at him. Well, he saved others. Why can't he save himself? Come down from the cross, Jesus, and show that you're the Messiah. And we'll believe in you. Sometimes our prayers sound like that to the Lord. You know, we do mock God when we try to tell him what to do. He is God. And we are not. And we are to want his will above all else. And at least three people at the cross turned to Christ, at least three that we know of. And I want to think about those lives with you briefly tonight. And we could see ourselves in their shoes, each one of those who turned to Christ. The first one was the dying thief who turned to Christ at the cross. And the dying thief really shows our moral desperation and corruption as humanity. And there he was, just one person, but there he was, being like all of us at one time or another. He was guilty before God. Did you ever feel like a dying thief before the Lord? Just totally bankrupt morally, nothing to bring to him, but just your own heart. Well, God does give us everything as people, and when we claim that for ourselves, he gives us the gift of life, for example, and I say, I'm going to live my life for myself. That's being a thief before God. God gave me the gift of life. Who am I to try to run my own life? And the thief did that. And he ended up next to Jesus about it. And sometimes in our own coming to the end of ourselves, we find ourselves in a safe place next to Christ. And we're confronted by him. The thief also stole stuff for himself and hoarded things for his own use. Things that were around, things that God had created and God had made, and probably God would share with him. But he took them and he took them for himself and he hoarded them. and because he thought his own survival depended on himself. But it really did not. And so that, too, brought him next to Jesus in his own need, his own guilt. And we also steal from the Lord sometimes when we steal people from God for our own ends, or we use people for our own goals or things to accomplish. We try to control other people as if they belong to us. And we want to direct, but that's stealing the Lord's sovereignty over their life. We are to let the Lord direct. That was the thief. We are like him. And the thief recognized his guilt before God, and he said to Jesus, before Jesus, he said, I'm getting what I deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. He recognized the goodness of Christ in his hour of great need. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And tonight, in our desperation to know God better and worship him, if we feel like a thief, you know, stole our life away from him, we could say, Lord, just remember me, Jesus. Help me. And Jesus said to that man, today you'll be with me in paradise. So that simple act of faith and repentance, any one of us could have, just like the dying thief had. The second person who turned to the Lord at the cross was a Roman soldier. He represented independence and power and human ability to do a lot of things. That was the greatest army around in the history of the world at that time, the Roman army, and he was a member of it. He was trained to kill a man with his own hands. He was no sentimental person. Probably fought in wars. And he was in charge of what was happening there at the crucifixion. The Bible tells us those soldiers, and maybe the one mentioned here, mocked Christ as he was dying. And they also gambled for his robe. Okay, they were hardened people. And they were toughened people. He probably saw a lot of people die at the cross. But one thing about the soldier, as hardened as he was and as self-sufficient as he was, he knew the difference between life and death, because that was what his whole life was all about. And so he respected the difference between life and death. And when he saw Jesus died, the Bible lets us know he never saw a man die like Jesus died. And really, it wasn't the nails that killed him or the spear in his side after he had died. Jesus said he lays down his life, no one takes it from him. So there was something about the death of Jesus that changed that man forever. And he said, the scripture says, when he saw the way Jesus died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. A great confession of faith. And sometimes in our independence, if we think we're strong in our own selves, the Lord would show us otherwise. We'll never meet a person like Jesus in any manner. And he's the king, and that he would give his life for us. We can surrender our hearts to him like the soldier did and say, he's God's son. I want to trust him and follow him. And then the third person who turned his life to Christ at the cross was Joseph of Arimathea. He represents the religious man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, a respected group of leaders in Judea. They knew scripture. They made rules based on what the Bible said. They had civil authority. And so they had a lot of power. And they were in on the trial that Jesus had. And Joseph of Arimathea was there. And the Bible lets us know he was a secret follower of Jesus. And he might say he was a churchman, a dedicated churchman. And there's always a dedicated churchman that really does need to give their heart to Christ. To say, Lord, I need to follow you. That was what Joseph was dealing with as he was there at toward Jesus' death. A secret follower of Jesus, he feared what others would think. He thought maybe, but I'm an important person. If I follow Jesus 100%, I might lose reputation or power. They might kick me out of the Sanhedrin or something. He wasn't willing to go public in following of Jesus until he saw Jesus die. And when Jesus died for him, Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible says he went to Pilate which was a courageous thing to do. And he said, "Can I have the body of Jesus? I would like to give him a decent burial." And for the first time ever, Joseph of Arimathea became a public follower of Christ. And I think in our walk with the Lord, remembering Jesus' death for us does give us that gift of faith and courage to say, well, if Jesus died for me, the least I could do would be to follow him in some public manner. Billy Graham always says at the end of his crusades, confess Jesus publicly. And he asked people to come and pray and say, I belong to Christ, because he says Jesus died publicly. And so we're to follow the Lord that way, to say we belong to him. He gave his life for us. We do that by how we live and by confessing. A very powerful confession of faith. Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. And those three people who turned to Christ, how wonderful. Neither the thief on the cross, desperate man, nor the soldier, the self-sufficient man, nor Joseph of Arimathea, very religious man. They were not turned away by God. They were not forsaken by God for all their sins and frailties. But rather, they were given a chance to trust God. They were not forsaken because Jesus was forsaken on their behalf, as God the Father recognized the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. And you and I, this evening, when we have communion together, might we say, Lord, we proclaim your love until you come. And thank you so much for being the King of Kings. You know, we embrace you, Lord, like the thief would and like the soldier would and like Joseph of Arimathea would. He's our peace with God, the only peace we have. He's wonderful. Embrace him. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And tonight, by faith, follow him with a surrendered life. He surrendered his life for us. He knew no sin. He became sin for our sake, so that in a fair exchange, we might live with the gift of the righteousness of God and follow the Lord. He's wonderful. He helps us. He meets us in our needs. And tonight, lean on him and go with the good news as we leave tonight that Jesus is Lord. We're going to remember the Lord giving his life for us. At Christmas, we light a candle and say the light of the world came into the world and was born. And on Good Friday, we're just going to let the candle represent the Lord and his giving his life for us and him being gone at the cross until he rose again. So